Blog Talk Radio.
The scientific and the material realm. I have heard of your aeroplane. I have heard about the fact that you are a scientific genius. You have been able to walk distance and place time and change. Yes, you have been able to carve highways through the stratosphere.
When we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one, there are people dying. Oh, time to lend a hand to
life.
The greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day.
Down and out. About the social issues that's going on. I'm going to have Mary read 23rd number Psalms as we get started on our show. You know, our subject was black women marrying white men. I had so many people call about it. And this is what we're going to talk about, black men marrying white women, one step at a time. But I got a call from Natalie from Atlanta, Georgia, and I want to really tell you what she said happened to her, and it might be happening to some of you women, and you don't even understand it. But I'm going to have Mary Hawkins to read the 23rd number, some of the Lord is my shepherd, and I want to quote you, read that. I'm talking about the violence that's going on in our country, the lack of guts, the guns and rape, the killing, and even the police shoot the man 60 times. And what is they thinking about? And you got the police been suicide. And now they say they so depressed. If you depressed, get off the job. And they got a number, I think it's 98, I wrote it down. And my whole thing with that is something going on that they ain't saying. When you done murder folks, you done kill folks, something come back to bother you. And right now we're in a situation where murder, and the angel is Abaddon, is the angel of death. And Abaddon have created wings all over. There's a lot to talk about tonight. We can talk about what happened in Paris, what happened with the heat, what's really going on. And God, like Ground said, God is in control. So you ask them, why God letting this happen? Why have you not come out of the rain and really come to God? When that's going to happen? When you got a Congress, you got Democrats and Republicans, it's sitting on the bill to pass to make it. The boy in Indiana had three clips and was in the mall with a rifle. Killed two people, shot a few more, and one of the citizens had and shot and killed him. But the police said if he hadn't been there to kill that guy, that guy was going to do some damage. That's three clips. This wasn't an old man, 50. This is young, 20 years old, 30 years old. Where they getting these guns from? Where they getting all these rifles from? And Congress wants the Republican Party and the Democrat Party won't say we're going to shut it down till we get a bill where no more assault weapons in this country. Those guns are made for war. There's not no war going on in Chicago or New York or Detroit. I guess it is because so much of the killing going on. You see what's happening in Ukraine, that they're killing innocent people. Hitler murdered 6 million Jews. You're watching the Hitler mentality. You're watching it. Violence on innocent people. The blood is at the altar. And when I could go ahead on to talk about that, because Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was the moral conscience of America. Vietnam, racism, like the police. Dr. King was the only one who raised his voice, prophet of God, prophesied some of this happening now would happen. In the 20th century, we'll be shooting each other. It's happening. What happened over in Indiana, where the boy would come out and get you, they got him, come out shooting people, coming to come out. It just so happened. It was a guy there at a carry and killed him on the spot. And the police department said if he hadn't killed him, he was going to do some damage. Okay. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. And maybe you want to say something, but I just want to let you know.
Yeah, check on the thing.
Mary Hawkins, you can read 23rd number song now.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leading me in the path of righteousness for his name. Yea, for I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I just read the number 23rd number song.
Thank you. Now, she just read 23rd number song. Them that want to get it. I want to say this before we started tonight. I had a young lady call me from Atlanta, Georgia. And it let me know that some of you women don't want to stand up with the truth. Now, my subject for the night was why do black women marry white men and have children by them? Bam, that's something you can have. You can talk about it if you want to, but that's what I was questioning. But I want to say that before I get to that subject tonight, I was just looking. Dr. King died in 1968. He was murdered. And do you know black folks is going backward? The Hispanic people is running the colleges now. They just kicked the black man out of Kennedy King, you know, and he hustled to get money for education. So it seemed like the black community is in a stalled situation. They're waiting on somebody to save them. But ain't nobody going to save you but yourself. Know yourself, be yourself, and act yourself, and free yourself. And that's what happened to that. From 1968, we have lost jobs. We have no leadership in the black community. Black business ain't coming in the black community. And look like the homosexual people have took a run to take over. Now, y'all don't like what I'm saying, but God have a way of bringing the truth out. Yeah, God have a way of bringing truth out. I want to thank Sister Nellie from Atlanta, Georgia, called me upset with what happened to her and her family. And I said, can I say it on the radio? She's a bishop. Let the people on, let the women know on that listen to you on the radio what's happening to black men and white men too. And it's simply not all right. Okay. I'm going to deal with that, but I want to deal with the jobs. I want to deal with companies hiring black people and don't want to pay them the wage. Young folks ain't going to work without you giving them some money. Okay. So what I'm saying tonight, the Dr. King movement is trying to bring you up to the level where you might understand what's going on in this country. And you got the radicals want to take over. That's what they're shooting about in these malls. And you got the Republican Party, which was the one that want to keep blacks in slavery. The same Republican Party and some of the Democrats. They say they're Democrat, but they're Republicans undercover. And what I'm saying, I was seeing the police down in Texas got all the, and they wouldn't go in and let them people be murdered. So I blame the boy that did it because he's sick, but I blame the cops. If you're a policeman, you don't supposed to be so suicidal you're going to kill yourself. They stood in the hallway and let that boy kill all them children. That happened. The blood of all of those children is in Washington in the White House. The blood of Sandy Hook. The blood of what happened in Highland, Illinois. The blood in Michigan, the blood in all over the country, the blood in Buffalo, the blood is on the hand of the politicians, still lying to people, won't tell them the truth, that they ain't trying to pass a gun bill, they ain't trying to pass a bill to ban assault weapons. Somebody else get killed. And two people got killed Sunday over at a mall over in Indiana. And the man had three clips with an assault rifle. It just so happened was a man there had his pistol and had a carry and shot and killed the boy. The boy was ready to do some damage. It's happening over and over, and Washington is turning their head. And Biden sent all the money over to Ukraine. What about here? What about the high gas? What about the bread? $10, $5 a loaf. Everything going up. Where is the money? The taxpayers' money is going to fund the war over in Ukraine. That ain't our fight. That's Putin's fight. Americans have nothing to do with it. We should be fighting education. Our kids should be getting new school stuff. Our colleges. You know, one of the campaigns was that everybody go to college free. That's out the door. Is nobody challenging the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? There's nobody talking about the killing and the guns that's in America. Yes, black on black, Hispanic on Hispanic, white on white over in Ukraine. They're sending money over there. They're sending money and guns. Okay. That's happening. That ain't no fiction. That's happening right now. Now, I just say, well, police was killing each other. They committing suicide. That's what they said. And they have a number for them to call. I think it's 988. I got it wrote down. If I got it wrong, somebody hit my line and tell me I'm saying it right. I think it's 988 that you call this number if you're a policeman or a fireman. Not only police, everybody need to call the number. You got crazy folks out here, and you got the government feeding crazy food. You know, call 911 about all the chemicals going into these hogs and these pigs and making people acting crazy. And we need to call that number and ask what's going on. I want to say this this evening. I have some scripture for you to read and wrote down some scriptures. I want to thank those that have called and those have been faithfully calling, those that have been planting a seed. And I want to tell you tonight, if you got to need to plant a seed, and I went out and planted some corn in the yard, out in the garden, I thought about as I plant that corn, as it come up, as the water, the rain, it's going to come up. And you need to plant your seed for what you want. You send what you want, but as you able to plant a seed for divine healing, you're able to plant a seed to break curses and hexes that's been on you and spells that's been on you. Are you willing to take a leap to faith? Are you willing to know that a change gonna come? Sam Cook talked about a change. Yeah, that number is 988. I should call that number and see what they tell me, that 988. Because if I tell them I got a problem, not only policemen call, policemen. Let's deal with that. Maybe you want to answer. Here's a police officer. You're getting top pay. What you so depressed about that you need to go call 988 when you need to go sit down and pray and go to church or go somewhere where somebody give you some counseling, or you done did so much wrong or lied so much that is coming back on you, okay? Now, those police that shot that man 60 times, is that all right? Boy that shot here, 16 shots, is that all right? You do your dirt, then you go kill yourself. You won't tell nobody. You won't repent. Thank you, Superman. Okay. God, I think the Bible says, spread not thyself, evil doers will soon be cut down. There's a lot of evil going on, and there's a lot of justice, divine justice, from God. Okay. Think about what I'm saying. If you a teacher, doctor, lawyer, it's certain divine laws you should go by. Now, all this homosexual stuff, y'all know, y'all saying it's okay. It's not okay for two men to get married. It's not okay for two women to get married. I don't care what man law says. I'm talking about a divine law. And I don't care how much of counsel you get, call 988. They can't tell you it's all right for two women to get married or two men. They can't tell you that lie. The lie have been perpetrated and made, trying to make the lie the truth and put the truth out the way. That's what's happening. That's what's going on. And murder after murder, shooting after shooting. Now, why is it so many guns in America? Here's a boy, 13 and 12 year old, got guns. They can go, it's harder to get a McDonald's hamburger than to go pick up a gun in Inglewood, Lundale, and all these suburbs. and they talk about Woodlawn. They talk about Austin. What about the suburbs where all these assault rifles that these guys, 17 and 18, got and going to the mall and shooting innocent people? What about that? A change coming. I want to share this with y'all before I bring Sam Cook on. Spinetti been married 13 years to her husband. Okay. And she found out that she had the monkey pop. The doctor told her, she lives in Atlanta, she said, I have no relationship but my husband. So she told her husband that she got the monkeypox. He went on and denied it because she brought the paperwork. He said that he had been going with his best friend when they go on fishing trips, they go on sex trips. So I'm telling you, ladies, you might be sleeping with a homosexual, having sex with you and a man. That ain't all right. Monkey pops is out of him. Better know that you got a man that want a woman and a woman want a man. Two women can't get the monkey pop. And you know, and the NBC, ABC, they playing it down. Oh, we gonna get shot. What two men going together for anyway? We'll get a shot. That's sin. Abomination for God. Romans 1:26, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. That means the curse. Y'all need to read that. Romans 1:26, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. It could be your husband, your boyfriend. You better get a resume and say, hey, has you been with anybody? Come out a woman. They with men now. You know, and this is happening. It ain't all right, but I'm just letting you know that her husband could go to 9, he can call 988 all he want to. He done violated God, and the curse for that is some monkey pop. They can take all the shots they want to. Every time they do that, that's going to happen. I didn't know it was so widespread that men are lovers. I mean, I know men are getting married and all of that, but I didn't know that men that are married got a man and a woman. Woo! Good God Almighty. And I'm saying, you know, and it ain't just the black men. It's white, brown, Hispanic, all of them. So God dropped the monkey pox. I don't know what they call it, monkey, because it didn't come from Africa. It come from Europe. You know, they want to put everything on Africa. Monkey pox. It ain't no monkey pox. It's homosexual pox. Two men going together. And you know how the news media play it back. Like they push the shot. They don't push why you need to get the shot. Stop going to bed with men. You won't need the shot. I know y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. And some of you women, if you in love, gone. The woman said immediately. She told him, get out of my house. She said, Bishop, I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm glad she got sense enough to get healed and don't go back into that. But some of you still go along with it.
Beyond the sky, it's been a But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. It will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know
about America and the policies that America send black men to Vietnam and come back, they can't even buy a house and can't even live. Saying that he has seen racism in Chicago.
The only time that I have ever been booed was one night in our regular weekly mass meeting by some angry young men of our movement. I went home that night with an ugly feeling, so obviously I thought
the young men that was born Dr. King was the Vice Lord, the Blackstone Rangers, the disciples, they were saying, Dr. King, you telling us to be nonviolent and y'all fighting in Vietnam and these white folks ain't giving us nothing. And those young men, I want to call their names. Larry Hoover is in jail for life. Jeff Ford in jail for life. and many of them in jail for life because they was in the movement with Dr. King. They couldn't kill him. And I got a book out talking about the youth that the government was trying to kill the youth. But they couldn't kill. They killed Mark Clark and Fred Hampton, but they couldn't kill Larry Hoover or Jeff because they had their soldiers. So since they couldn't kill them out directly, put them in prison for life. You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of crooked stuff that go on. And the press, the fake press, was right there with it. They put it in the paper, and they show it bad. You know, they doing it. That's the kind of negativity that we got. Psalms 120, 122, Psalms 123, Psalms 117 for the night. I'll say that to you. Some of you have to make key decisions. And I want to get back to this here, because you women, you know, you get mad when somebody tells you something. And the one lady called me, what about the black men? I'm going to talk about them. But I'm talking about women that have to make a decision. They're not able to make it without. Now, I ain't talking about color. I'm just talking about why would you jump over the fence? And you if your man got a problem, the government put him in jail, and they had a place where you couldn't go to the project, and it was to split the black man, black woman up. That happened. That ain't no fiction. I'm going to play a little of this here for you.
You know, nobody is going to give us this information. They have us standing around sometimes and pointing at the brothers and saying, yeah, that's them over there. They ain't no good. They doing this and that and the other, and it's all negative. And they have us thinking that the black man is going to die and we going to live on. But that's not how it's going to go. There is still one monolith in the black community, and that's that it still takes a man and a woman to make a baby. So if the black man dies, we all die. And I don't want to die. I want to live. I want my children and my grandchildren and whatever else is coming after Charizard, I want that to live. But we are not on the path of life. We're on the path of destruction. You know, learning how to get along has to be taught by force. Slavery was taught by force. We didn't volunteer for that. They made us do that. They forced us to do that. And that's how we're going to have to learn how to reunify. It's going to have to be done by force. We're going to have to make ourselves try to deal with each other. Yeah, and that's very difficult, and it certainly takes a great deal of self-control and love for your nation at large. It's the greatest form of unselfishness. Now, I don't go around advocating that people that hate each other stay together. That's not what I'm saying. That's different. We can't solve a problem or get to a solution about a problem that we refuse to acknowledge that we have. We don't have to be ashamed that we have a problem. We don't have to be ashamed to know that it is related to slavery, because all of our problems are related to slavery. And I know that that seems to be some old hat issue, and everybody want me to stop talking about that. Nobody would tell the Japanese woman to forget about the fact that during World War II, the white man interned her family, took all of their personal possessions. Nobody would tell her to forget about that. Nobody would tell the Indian woman, forget about the fact that the white man came over here and took your country and put you and your babies out on the reservation. And nobody would dare to tell the Jewish woman to forget about the Holocaust, so why I gotta forget about slavery? See, the Japanese and the Indian and the Jewish woman got behind their men, and they had some very terrible histories also. But because they got behind their men and supported them and worked with them, those people are successful today. They own property. They have businesses. They got great land here and abroad. You know, they have stocks, bonds, whatever America has to offer. They own part of that. They are in a position to make decisions because they have some ownership. It's only been the black man and the black woman who didn't reunite after a terrible time. And so today we are splintered. We don't have very much. We practice envy and jealousy. You know, they taught us a lot of bad habits that we practice against each other. If we practice everything we practice against each other, against the white man, they'd have been killed out of America. Most of that stuff we reserve for our own kind. And that's wrong. We have had that rumor that we are the backbone of the black nation because it has served to make us think we were better than the black man. We have walked around and wore that as some kind of a sacred garment. And our men have had to struggle up under the already preconceived notion that they wasn't no good. We have always heard that the black man leaves us. He walks out on us. He don't love his children. He won't take care of his family. He beat his women. He do a lot of horrible things. This book goes back to try to examine what are some of the possible contributing causes. What happened before he left? What happened? Something happened. The black man is just not bad by nature. The brothers love their children as much as any other man. Every man loves his baby. They keep wanting to tell us that our man don't even love his children. He's not a mother, though. He's a father. He's not going to have the same kind of connection to the cubs that we have. We can't expect that. We keep wanting the man to act like a woman. He can't act like no woman. Praise be to Allah. I wrote the book so that the brothers would understand what's going on, because most of what we charge them with is that he can't, quote, handle us. He can't handle me.
See, society wants the black men to turn all gay. And you see it. You see it in the school. You see it with big institutions. You know, you see it happening. So women have to stay charged of what's going on. So I'm just letting you know. That's some of the stuff that we are talking about, that women might have to be the doctor to help men come back to where they're supposed to be, you know, because men have been really abused. And anybody know they've been abused.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mouse department. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I see the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
So this morning, I would like to use as a subject Paul's letter to American Christians. Paul's letter to American Christians. I would like to share with you an imaginary letter from the pen of
Dr. King. Is talking about the church have divided us as a community. Each pastor doing something different. We're not going in the same vein. Dr. Killing saved the babies. And we're talking about black people stop marching. The gays marching, everybody marching. Black folks don't feel, I want black folks to know the goals that we have got, they're being taken back slowly by people coming in this country, don't have no mark. I want to say, if you are a Native American black, they're trying to take all the goals that was given to you, they're being taken back. So it's important for you to begin to say, now, what's happening that I can't do this here? They got other people in your spot. So you involved now with everybody else taking what you're doing, what I'm talking about. Your spot is being taken slowly away from you, and you don't even know it. What's going on is happening with you.
Of my sufferings and sacrifices over the last 12 years, why would they put one so close to them? But as I lay awake thinking, I finally came to myself, and I could not for the life of me have less impatience and understanding for those young men. For 12 years, I and others like me have held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant days when they would have freedom all here now. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a
Dr. Abernathy, our distinguished Vice President, fellow delegates to this 10th annual session of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, my brothers and sisters from not only all over the South, but from all over the United States of America. 10 years ago, during the piercing chill of a January day and on the heels of the year-long Montgomery bus boycott, a group of approximately 100 Negro leaders from across the South assembled in this church and agreed on the need for an organization to be formed that could serve as a channel through which local protest organizations in the South could coordinate their protest activities. It was this meeting that gave birth to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. When our organization was formed 10 years ago, racial segregation was still a structured part of the architecture of Southern society. Negroes with the pangs of hunger and the anguish of thirst were denied access to the average lunch counter. The downtown restaurants were still off limits for the black man. Negroes burdened with the fatigue of travel were still barred from the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. Negro boys and girls in dire need of recreational activities were not allowed to inhale the fresh air of the big city parks. Negroes in desperate need of allowing their mental buckets to sink deep into the wells of knowledge were confronted with a firm no when they sought to use the city library. 10 years ago, legislative halls of the South were still ringing loud with such words as interposition and nullification. All types of conniving methods were still being used to keep the Negro from becoming a registered voter. A decade ago, not a single Negro entered the legislative chambers of the South except as a porter or chauffeur. 10 years ago, all too many Negroes were still harried by day and haunted by night, by a corroding sense of fear and a nagging sense of nobodiness. But things are different now. In assault after assault, we cause the sagging walls of segregation to come tumbling down. During this era, the entire edifice of segregation was profoundly shaken. This is an accomplishment whose consequences are deeply felt by every Southern Negro in his daily life. It is no longer possible to count the number of public establishments that are open to Negroes. 10 years ago, Negroes seemed almost invisible to the larger society, and the facts of their harsh lives were unknown to the majority of the nation. But today, civil rights is a dominating issue in every state, crowding the pages of the press and the daily conversation of white Americans. In this decade of change, the Negro stood up and confronted his oppressor. He faced the bullies and the guns, the dogs and the tear gas. He put himself squarely before the vicious mobs and moved with strength and dignity toward them and decisively defeated them. The courage with which he confronted enraged mobs dissolved the stereotype of the grinning, submissive Uncle Tom. He came out of his struggle integrated only slightly in the external society, but powerfully integrated within. This was a victory that had to precede all other gains. In short, over the last 10 years, the Negro decided to straighten his back up, realizing that a man cannot ride your back unless it is bent. We made our government write new laws to alter some of the cruelest injustices that affected us. We made an indifferent and unconcerned nation rise from lethargy and subpoenaed its conscience to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. We gained manhood in the nation that had always called us boy. It would be hypocritical indeed if I allowed modesty to forbid my saying that SCLC stood at the forefront of all of the watershed movements that brought these monumental changes in the South. For this, we can feel a legitimate pride. But in spite of a decade of significant progress, the problem is far from solved. The deep rumbling of discontent in our cities is indicative of the fact that the plant of freedom has grown only a bud and not yet a flower. Before discussing the awesome responsibilities that we face in the days ahead, let us take an inventory of our programmatic action and activities over the past year. Last year, as we met in Jackson, Mississippi, we were painfully aware of the struggle of our brothers in Grenada, Mississippi. After living for 100 or more years under the yoke of total segregation, the Negro citizens of this northern Delta hamlet banded together in nonviolent warfare against racial discrimination under the leadership of our affiliate chapter and organization there. The fact of this non-destructive rebellion was as spectacular as its results. In a few short weeks, the Grenada County movement challenged every aspect of the society's exploitative life. Stores which denied employment were boycotted, voter registration increased by thousands. We can never forget the courageous action of the people of Grenada, who moved our nation and its federal courts to powerful action in behalf of school integration, given Grenada one of the most integrated school systems in America. Battle is far from over, but the black people of Grenada have achieved 40 of 53 demands through their persistent nonviolent efforts. Slowly but surely, our southern affiliates continued their building and organizing. 79 counties conducted voter registration drives, while double that number carried on political education and get out the vote efforts. In spite of press opinion, our staff is still overwhelmingly a southern-based staff. 105 persons have worked across the South under the direction of Jose Williams. What used to be primarily a voter registration staff is actually a multifaceted program dealing with the total life of the community, from farm cooperative, business development, tutorials, credit unions, etc. Especially to be commended are those 99 communities and their staffs, which maintain regular mass meetings throughout the year.
But I know